Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me today is the winner of our first open contest, Naomi Sandoval. So I guess right now Naomi's on her hammock in sunny Florida. So let's just get right into it. What did you think of your pictures when you saw them?
I love my pictures. I'm very, very, very excited. It's a look I've really wanted my entire life. I'm going to be 47 years old, and I feel like I'm finally on track to what I want.
And so, okay, so you're 47. So how long have you been training?
I'm 46.
So sorry, my mistake. You're 46 years young, and you some distance in the future you might be 47.
Yeah. I started lifting in college, so probably around 19 or 20, and took breaks. Took a break in my mid-20s, got back into it in my late 20s. At 35, I had kids. I had one kid. I do one at a time. I know some people do otherwise. And I did Body for Life when she was around one.
Mm-hmm.
So in those 12 weeks, I got into phenomenal shape. And then 12 weeks and one day, we quit. I was doing that with my husband. I just could not continue at that pace. I hated it.
Okay, so what was that one all about, or do you really
Body
have
for
a
Life?
Yeah.
Body for Life was eating six times a day, which really irritated me because you never got to eat very much. So I used to take a sandwich, which wasn't exactly in the plan, but I used to pretend it was.
Yeah.
And I used to break it into two meals, so I would have half my sandwich and then look longingly at the other half. It was ridiculous. I liked the workouts, I guess. They were short, which I thought was really cool. And I'd never done 10 minutes of cardio before. I'm pretty sure, maybe I'm remembering, maybe it was 20, but it was a lot shorter than the hour classes that I was doing before that.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, I felt retarded. I remember getting on the stair machine or whatever, and you had to hit your perceived level of exertion, and you had to get yourself all the way up to a 10 for only a minute, and I always felt like a spaz.
That actually, trying to go all out on any machine is, first of all, it's not even advisable. And second, it might actually be dangerous. And then, like, because if you go outside for a sprint, once you get as fast as you can go, it's safe, and then you just slow down and you're done. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Trying to go all out in a gym is really not a good idea.
And a minute is so arbitrary. Like, if I was sprinting, and, you know, I think everybody does this kind of stuff naturally, I would tell myself, I would make negotiations with myself. So I would look ahead to that tree or that signpost. And then the deal would be, I'm going to go flat out until I reach it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never a minute. I don't know what it is. But.
No, you can't go flat out. Well, I mean, not really. Depending how fast you're going, you can't.
Yeah. So I think that's a problem with all of these high-intensity interval training things, that the intervals are too long.
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, if you're supposed to be going as hard as you can, then you're right. It's impossible. I mean, that's just measurable. It's impossible to go. I mean, if you're at VO2 max, you can go for a few minutes. Like, really well-trained people can hit it for, you know, over 5 minutes. But then the average person who's not like an Olympic caliber athlete can't even do that. And then there's an intensity beyond that, which is pure anaerobic, like just a full-on 100-meter dash, like a sprint. And that's, like, what, 10 seconds worth, and you have to stop.
Wow. Out of my league.
Well, no, anyone can do it. It's their own –
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
It's each person's specific limit, but it sounds like the program never told you that.
No, I sort of got that. I just didn't like that it was a whole minute.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right.
It's just – it sort of makes you want to barf trying to go flat out for a full minute. It's just arbitrary. And then, you know, the obvious problem with machines is you're going flat out and you're trying to smash buttons on them. So,
Well, that's where the danger comes in, right? You have to take you're not in stride.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you still got in shape with it.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. And then moving forward.
And then we went into the world of being parents. So, I mean, we already were, but I had a very high needs child, and I pretty much devoted myself to that. I couldn't leave her at the gym. I tried, and it wasn't going to happen. It was cruel. I remember one time, because when we did Body for Life, my husband would sit with her in the daycare and I'd work out and then we'd switch. And then they talked me into actually using the daycare. So I said, is she so much a sputter as you get me? Because this is a kid that couldn't be away from mom.
Right.
I went up and changed and I came back and I peeked around the room and she was hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, like throw up hysterical. And I walked in, I was so angry with them, and I just scooped her up. And they said, oh, she's fine. It took me 40 minutes to even be able to calm her down. I took her into the locker room, you're not allowed, grabbed my stuff and went home. I mean, I didn't work out more than once a month for years.
And then after that?
You know, the famous comebacks. We moved, so I tried different gyms, and they were all kind of sucky. It was an unfortunate area in South Florida, I guess. I'll work out every 2 or 3 months and putting on weight. And we were really, really, really poor. So I lived on pasta, I think, literally for probably 3 or 4 years. And I wound up putting on, I mean, you know how pasta is.
Yeah, it's wonderful and you can eat lots of it.
Yeah, yeah. I wound up cranking up like 30 pounds.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then how'd you feel about that? Or were you not really paying attention?
I wasn't really paying attention, and I had a second kid, and for some reason, I lost a lot of weight and then put it back on, and I wasn't really paying attention to any of that whole process. And then one day I looked in the mirror, and I realized I was old, like really old, and like I'd missed that happening. My youth was gone. I was dumpy and frumpy, and clothing fit really weird. People always asked me if I was pregnant.
Oh, no, when you weren't?
When I wasn't. Yeah. Everybody asked me, oh, are you pregnant? No.
No, that's the ultimate putting your foot in your mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, I got used to it, so I was kind to people. I didn't give them too bad of a look.
Right. Okay, and so where does that, so how close is that to joining VI, or is there still a time gap here?
Oh, there's still a time gap. So we moved here into Gainesville, and the gym in town is very good, very, very good. And so I joined, and I had never dieted in my entire life, so I thought I would just...
Oh, what gym are you at?
Gainesville Health and Fitness.
Oh, yeah, I never went there. I actually went to Gainesville. What is it, Gainesville Gym, like the kind of the dirty one? I liked it, but anyways. All right, so go on.
Well, this has kid care, so you have to keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, no, that other place definitely doesn't.
Yeah, I like the musclehead gyms, but I don't have that option, I don't think.
Right.
So I was going to exercise it away, and to really rapidify, if that was the word, long story. I got to the point where I was using a heart rate monitor, and my goal was 4,000 calories a week and of exercise.
Oh, okay, interesting. Oh,
no
I see.
Diet.
So were you going to try to just... Okay, no diet, and you were just going to try to take off a pound a week kind of by hitting 4,000 extra calories.
I didn't think about the math. I just befriended that. She dieted and did that. I didn't listen to the diet part because, you know, I didn't need that.
Right.
No, my diet was healthy. It was
very healthy. So speak about that at the time.
What did I eat or the exercising?
Well, no. Well, okay, so you're going to try to do this 4,000 calories a week, but what were you eating? Or do you really remember?
I don't know if you could technically call me, what is it, orthorexic?
Orthorexic, yeah.
That thing, yeah. So I tend to latch onto a philosophy and, you know, that's going to save the world kind of thing. It is religion to some degree.
Yeah.
So you can laugh at me. I've heard your digs in some podcasts. You know, I eat mainly organic food and I'm pretty...
Well, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. It's just the difference between what you think it's going to do and what it will do.
Yeah. I'm pretty particular about my sources of any animal products. Chickens I raise myself, so that's the eggs, not the meat.
Right.
Beef is grass-fed, usually. Well, not always.
That's great. If you can have access to grass-fed beef, that's the best way to go.
Yeah, we do it in co-ops in town. It's pretty cool. So we'll buy into a cow as a group of 20 or 30 people or whatever. And, you know, the cow's still walking around. Kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Pretty low grain for the last few years just because I know they don't agree with me. So I'm not going to say I'm a paleo zealot. How do you say that word? Zealot? Anyway. But
zealot, yeah.
It does kind of fit. You know, we go to Panera on weekends, so there you go.
Oh, I love that place. That's the one thing I miss the most from leaving there is Panera Bread.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, because we don't have them here.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's one now. There's one within an hour's drive, but that's ridiculous. I used to live on the same street as Panera when I was down there.
Yeah. Don't you have something similar?
Well, yeah, but it just wasn't good. Like, there is one closer that's, like, seems as though it's the Canadian ripoff of Panera, but it's just not Panera.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I actually drive to that other city just to go there for a sandwich and soup.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the ambiance and the food quality. And yeah. I don't think Panera is great, but I like the ambiance. I'm not eating the bagels right now.
Right.
It doesn't fit in with my current goals, but I'll get back to it.
Yeah, okay, so then moving. How did that 4,000 calorie a week workout? Did that even do anything, or did it work? Or do you remember?
I would say that over 2 years, I dropped 10 pounds, which is kind of pitiful.
It's interesting, though, because very few people actually just do a slow drop. That's actually kind of – that's rare, actually.
Huh.
It's slow. I'm sure it doesn't happen often because most people probably give up because it's so slow.
Yeah, I'm determined. So once I got to the point where I was back at it, it is who I am, mm-hmm. and I wasn't giving up. I wasn't quitting anymore.
Right. So you stuck that out, and now where does that put you in a timeline?
That puts me a little bit over a year ago, January, so almost a year and a half.
Okay. So walk us right up to how you end up in the Venus community.
All right. Sorry to make it so long.
No, this is good. This is really good.
Okay. I went to a fitness conference because I was, your typical snowflake. There was some special reason, and I assumed it was my age, that I wasn't able to lose weight. And so I went to this fitness conference in Tampa with all these great names in the business, and I got it in my head that I was going to have to start counting calories. Like, it hadn't occurred to me that elite people did such a thing. Mm. And there was one woman in particular, she was actually from Canada, and she did a presentation on food. And she had the best body I had ever seen. I mean, there were a couple of other women there, and they also had amazing, amazing bodies. And this woman competed, and I couldn't believe when she was talking about how she prepared her food for the week, I couldn't believe she counted calories. And she would talk about how, well, of course, we only have 1 tablespoon of olive oil in that. And I thought, what? Salads are healthy.
Mm.
And looking back, when I look at my salad was 1,000 calories. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I put a whole avocado, nuts, fruits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brad Pilon's favorite salad from a particular chain here is 1,500 calories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know. So I came away from that ready to count calories. But it was right around that time that I discovered Venus. Venus didn't exist yet.
Oh, you just heard us talking about it?
No, I stumbled some link. I'm not sure how this all happened. I wish I could remember.
Yeah.
But I did decide to do turbulence training after that.
Right.
And I'm guessing that from turbulence training I found Eats.Eat. And from that I found Adonis. And I saw the link to the Venus site, which didn't really exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept checking in. I checked in obsessively. But it said, I think it said September. So my time frame was I would do the turbulence training contest, I would win that, and then I would immediately jump into Venus, and I would be perfect.
Right.
And it was almost like that because Venus was delayed a little bit. But
yeah,
I think it was November. I was on that initial conference call. So I was a little bit flailing in September because my plan was busted.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry, I didn't realize people were planning on that. Oh, geez.
Just me.
Okay, so you were an early adopter. You were in right away, and so were you? How did you do in turbulence training?
I won.
Oh, atta girl.
So I won twice. So I won at I think it was 6 weeks into the 12 weeks, I took second place, so I got a little money and a, you know, couple years membership or whatever it is. And then at 12 weeks, I took first place. And I knew I was going to. I just did. Hmm. I don't know how.
Yeah, you got to go in with that attitude.
Yeah. I don't think I shouted it from the rooftops, but I was pretty public about my transformation for the whole time anyway.
Right.
I would post progress pictures on Facebook, and I've got a lot of friends on Facebook, so.
Okay, yeah. and then you moved on to Venus, and then were you always intending to compete in the Venus contest?
Always intending to, but there was a little blip in there. I did. Everybody adopted Venus immediately, and I was sidetracked by a different program, so I did a little stint with that. And it's interesting, you know how so many of us say that we subscribe to all these different newsletters? I was like that. I did so much research, and I spent easily 2 hours a day reading all these things. And
no way. Come on, really?
Easily, yeah.
Oh, man. So how many newsletters would you be consuming?
I never counted, but probably 20.
Oh, man. I wouldn't even know there's 20 out there.
There's more than that, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and so this other one, I had already started the Venus stuff, and it sort of made sense, but it didn't make sense, and I did the contest, and it didn't really work, and sort of, anyway, the results weren't what I'd hoped for, and I was sort of relieved it was done, and just, like, I felt free, like, okay, I got that off my plate or whatever, and now I can really do Venus, because that's what's going to work.
And when was that?
Right before the contest, actually.
Oh, like so, right the end of December, or whatever.
Yeah, I think the other contest went right through the holidays or something. I'm not 100% sure.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, but it was about 2 or 3 weeks before the contest that I started doing the Venus Index. Well, you know what? When did Circuits come out?
I don't know when Circuits came out. I'm trying to think. I think it was, I don't know. I don't know when they came out. Somewhere in the middle of the contest, I think.
Oh, really? No, I don't think so, because I went directly to Circuits. I never did VI.
Maybe, well, then it must have been before the contest. I guess VI was out for at least 3 months until the contest.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I started on the Circuits because it was more familiar to me, because
right.
I'd been doing turbulence training, which is Circuits. And so when I did the first VI workout, and there was a minute rest, I was like, what? What am I going to do for a minute?
Oh, man. Everyone just gets so tied up in their habit. They just, that I remember that. The girls were just, everyone couldn't accept the fact they had to wait a minute. I don't get it. When I do the base VI workouts or the Circuits, I need that whole minute. So
I need it now. I'm doing them now, and I'm glad for something different. But at the time, I had been so entrenched in what I was doing, it was like, what?
Yeah. No, it's a weight thing. It's if you lift heavy, if you've trained yourself to lift heavy enough, you should need the minute. Like it should be, you should be praying for that minute.
Definitely, I agree. Yeah. I agree. So, yeah.
But go ahead.
I think that the specialization sort of helped get me there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about, okay, what, can you, here, let's just pause for a sec. What, is there a bird somewhere right next to you that's, like, crowing?
It's one of my chickens. I guess it's just laid an egg. You need to move. I don't know why you paused.
I just keep hearing this thing in the background. I'm like, what is that? It was getting louder. It's not like, you're not, like, swinging back and forth in the hammock and that's making noise, is it?
No.
Okay, then. Okay, well, that's fine. It just adds some flavor to the podcast. So,
I think
anyways,
it's done now.
And I know we. So it was squeezing out an egg while we were talking.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's. All right, let's get back on track here. Because I know you went back and forth with me in the forum about. About the specialization. So I know you tried a week or a couple weeks of specialization. So, I mean, how did that go? I remember it didn't go 100% exactly how you wanted.
I think it would have gone fine if I had stuck to the letter of what you'd laid out a little bit better. So you said 5 days, I think, and I had to make that 6. And I think my goals were not realistic. So I was looking to build 2 inches of shoulder in, 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then while I was at it, work on butt and throw in some legs and all that. Mm-hmm. I liked the first week a lot. I did all specializations. I think that was fine. And I lifted heavy. And I probably have some form issues or something is going on with my shoulders anyway.
Mm.
The second week was too much.
Mm-hmm. Like the way we designed it out.
Whatever I did, I pushed it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Go ahead.
No, I'll just continue.
Well, yeah, by the end of the second week, I had little tweaks with my shoulders.
Right.
And all through turbulence training, I was getting skinnier because I had a bad issue with one shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I haven't gone full strength on upper body consistently for years, really.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been held back by that. So I was determined to not have to go through all of the physical therapy because that's really time-consuming and expensive and boring. And so I backed off, and that's kind of where I have been now. Like, certain exercises are okay, others hurt. I immediately stop doing a little bit of physical therapy, but, the shoulder stuff is a little scary.
Yeah, that joint is, in general, that's an unstable joint, or at least not as stable as all the others. So it's the one joint I think we all have to be most careful with, and it's the easiest to mess up.
And I think there's other stuff going on for me in particular. I'm tall.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been tall. I got tall very young. So there's a tendency to be slouchy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we all do it. I look at people, and I look at how everybody's got their shoulders rolled forward. So I think it's become pervasive because of computers.
Yeah.
And desk jobs. But, me in particular, I have a tendency to sort of want to apologize for my height and slump forward and get down to other people's height. And so I have to try to overcome that. And then that affects my form. Anything that I do, I realize that my shoulders are just not where they should be.
Oh, you mean just anatomically you want them back? Do you consciously think about posture now, especially in the gym?
All the time. Like, I've always had a lot of back pain my whole life.
Mm.
And one of the things that I love about lifting is it takes it away.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's better than pain meds. I don't take pain meds really, but, it's just better.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Yeah, well, and that's why I always, when I work with anyone, I always stress posture in the gym. So no matter what exercise you're doing, always stand in good posture. And even if you're doing a bent over row or lying down on a bench, you always have that good posture position with your back, regardless if you're lying down, in a bent row position, any position, no matter what the exercise, just good posture. And that's because you don't want to train yourself into bad posture. Go ahead.
I think I've trained myself into bad posture, but little things I'm adjusting, I'm paying ridiculous attention now. Like when I do a bent row, mm-hmm. I always thought, and when I look at other people do it, the shoulder, so the dropped arm that's doing the row, it goes down and up at the movement, and my shoulder can't do that at all. So I'm keeping my scapula squeezed together throughout the whole movement.
Right, yeah. No, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that. Like you said, if that works for you, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of have to. And then push-ups are really hit or miss right now.
Oh, with the shoulder, yeah.
They go quick, like, sometimes. I mean, that's how I injured them in the first place. I couldn't do a push-up, and I figured it's time, it's a personal goal, I will be able to do my 10 push-ups. And I trained through clicking because I was determined.
Yeah. Was it pain or just clicking?
It was clicking and then pain, and I ignored it.
Right. Clicking's okay. Pain's not okay.
Yeah. Oh, the clicking is usually a warning for me now.
Pardon me?
The clicking is usually a warning for me now.
Oh, right, because it eventually leads to it?
Yeah, and then there's stuff like outside the gym. By the way, sorry, but there's another egg.
another egg on its way?
No, the news comes afterward. I think it's like the stupidity of the small brain animal thing. Come and steal my baby. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So the egg's there. This is just your egg's ready?
She's proud.
Okay. Anyways, back to your shoulders.
So we had a party a week or two ago, and I had a big pile of wood chips out front that finally needed moving because, you know, it's unsightly and it was in the way of the parking. And so it took me about 3 or 4 days of work, wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow, to move that. And it occurs to me 3 days into it that when you push a loaded wheelbarrow, your shoulders should be down and back.
Uh-huh.
I had been leaning into it, like, whoever thinks of such a thing, but who does wheelbarrowing for day after day after day either?
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
So I think I exacerbated the problem with that, you know, just little stuff and all the raking. Like, where do you put your shoulders when you rake, you know? I don't know.
I don't know that there's proper form for a lot of that type of work. It's just, now you're just a functional machine. It's not about, at least in the gym, you can force the form that you want, but when you're working around the yard and doing that type of stuff, the machine forces you. So the wheelbarrow, the rake kind of forces you how it wants, not the other way around. Otherwise you'll get in a position where you're like, now I'm in perfect form, but I can't rake. So I don't think they're necessarily, it translates. That's why the gym is different than just working around the house sort of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to do some painting, and I'm sure that's going to be a little tiring on it too. So I'll just take it in small chunks.
Let your clicking and pain be the guide for sure.
Yeah.
So, well, you took it to the house, and your pictures were fantastic. Is that now versus all the other contests and all the other shape you've been in, would you call this your best?
By leap years, it's just much, much, much better. Much better. I have abs now.
Yeah, I saw.
I've never, ever had visible abs. I've never been anywhere near this lean, probably since I was a teenager.
And so what do you attribute that to? So were you doing Eat Stop Eat for the contest? What did you do for your diet?
I did and do Eat Stop Eat. So twice a week, I try to keep the calories to 500. That tends to be more like 700 on Eat Stop Eat days.
Right.
And the rest of the days, the goal depends on where I am currently. So right now, I think I have about 1,600 a day. And I'm 5'11". That's pretty high for a woman, yeah. Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, so does that feel satisfying?
It's great, yeah. That's maintenance.
Yeah. And then, have you recognized that does actually work for maintenance?
I think so. During the contest, I was always in a deficit. So I'm not 100% sure. I've lost 2 pounds since the contest ended, and I'm not sure if it's what I was eating or all that yard work.
Oh, I see. Well, I mean, either way, you're starting to learn more or less where maintenance might be. Isn't it weird when you do a deficit style of eating for extended period of time, and then you all of a sudden are faced with maintenance? You're like, oh, wait a minute, I don't actually know what this is.
It's weird. Huh. I've dabbled in maintenance before.
Yeah,
but it's scary territory, I have to admit.
Yeah, well, it's an active process. People you can't just forget about it.
You can't, no. And I will be going very, very stealth on this. And I don't tend to be a stealth person, but absolutely, it's critical now.
Well, so, okay, explain what you mean.
I've had issues with people. I guess I obsess too much about everything fitness and nutrition related, and that's not new. Like when I was in my 20s and I got really fit for the first time, I think I irritated the heck out of all my coworkers with all of it because I had all the answers and it had to be my way. And so, I mean, part of it is just growing up and learning not to talk so much about whatever new thing I've just found.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I'm going to fix everybody.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Right.
So in general, you're just going to keep that kind of covertness going?
Yeah, but it's also tricks that I have to use to stay in check. So it's still not easy for me if I go out and there's a whole lot of stuff to eat and it's good stuff. So I'm still developing strategies for that. I didn't even realize that alcohol was an appetite suppressant. So when we had the party here, I was like, oh, my God, there's going to be 1,000 people in my house. uh-huh. I can't handle that many people. I'm going to lose my mind. So I tend to not drink, but I had a proactive drink, and I wound up not eating all day. I wound up not grazing.
Well, there you go. If that works for you. If you drink enough, though, afterwards it causes people to want to eat.
Yeah, I always remember that from college. I'd get these munchies, but...
Yeah. Well, but that's... I mean, college students usually drink into ridiculous excess. So I'm sure if you just had a few, it would work perfectly as a suppressant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I want to do it all the time. I feel kind of icky afterward, but...
Yeah.
But,
well, that's cool. Yeah, which you're exploring, right?
Yeah, definitely exploring ideas. And the other thing that I did at my party is I tried to serve food that I didn't want, things that don't appeal to me, and I kept a secret stash of what I would have in the fridge. And it wasn't that appealing. It was mostly hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
There really wasn't a lot of, you know, how many hard-boiled eggs can you eat? So I don't think I ate very much that day.
Interesting. So are you happy with, like, having to do that, or did you resent that process?
I didn't resent it at all. Mm. What normally happens for me in a social setting is I pig out, I feel bloated, and I want to go home because I'm bloated.
Right.
Not because I'm not having a good time. I'm having a great time, but the bloating shows through the clothing, and I hate it.
Yeah, see, now I've heard that from I guess I'm just completely naive too. I'm becoming educated in the Venus forums, let's say. But I've heard that some girls say, even Allie would say, that you'd pick her friends would pick a dress that they can't afford to get bloated in. So like the dress fits as they are when they leave, but if they, like as you say, eat to the point of bloating, then all of a sudden it shows. So that alone sort of stops them from overdoing it.
Yeah, I just came across that trick a couple of months back. It's tricky because I bloat on water just if I'm a little agitated or nervous.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So then it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't matter.
Huh.
That trick doesn't work for me.
Oh, okay. All right, then. I guess I'm not really contributing to this conversation at all.
Oh, stop.
Oh, man. Okay, so what did you do? Did you all circuits through the whole contest?
Wait. I just wanted to finish up what we did for
for
diet during the contest.
Yep.
So I didn't want to be in a deficit the whole time, because when I did turbulence training, I basically was ineffective as a human being for almost the whole 12 weeks, because I was eating 1,200 calories, and I was, which... You know, for me, my maintenance is higher, 1,600 or whatever. That's pretty rough, plus one or two eats up each day. And I was lying around the couch the rest of the time. I couldn't get up. I didn't feel good.
You didn't have anything in you.
Yeah, and I lost about a pound a week on that, so that was pretty brutal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an extreme measure to get an extreme result, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't going to do it again. So I just figured I would crash diet and lose, because I knew I didn't have far to go.
Yeah.
So I figured...
With us?
Yeah. So if I could be in a moderate deficit, something I could deal with, continuing to lose weight. So what I did was, about a week into it, I went to 800 calories for about 13, 14 days. And I ate pretty much lean protein. And so the only time in my life I've ever done this, I ate egg whites.
Yeah.
And raw veggies. Basically, that's about it.
So you took it hard for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I dropped about probably 3 or 4 pounds in that time.
Okay, that's pretty quick.
And then I went to the half pound a week after that.
And that was a lot more, that worked better for your psyche and for your energy levels?
It was so much better. This is so much better, yeah. And with the Eat Stop Deep, those during the contest, it was usually strictly 500 pounds. I'm sorry, 500 calories.
Oh, on the Eat Stop Eat day.
Yeah, I would calculate it out, so it was more like my protein day. So, you know, just to keep it in check, I would write exactly what I was going to have, and I would weigh it. And I did that throughout the whole contest. I weighed things, and, you know, really, it was very tight, the nutrition.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it has to go. I mean, everybody who did well kind of did the same thing. Did you have,
Yeah.
did you listen to Caroline's podcast?
I listen to every podcast.
Okay, then. Did you have any way of tracking, like with her, how she does her sticker thing? Did you track this? Do you have a way of categorizing your days, or you didn't need to?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't do it until the last 5 weeks or so. And it's so ugly. So I went out and bought a calendar, and each day on the calendar I would put what I was going to do. I planned out the whole week, and then I would put a big check mark next to it. So it's the poor girl version of stickers. The stickers are expensive.
So just with a marker, you just fired a check mark in?
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then, well, there were some in gold. It was really a pen because I only had my 2-inch by 2-inch box to fit all that in. And then
Huh.
if I had 7 things that I was going to accomplish in that day and I did 5, I put a big check through the middle of the box. So if the goal, and I did have lower and lower calories, I did go into more of a deficit at the end. So let's say I was going to have 1,200 calories, I got a check for that. And I was going to do my gym workout, I got a check for that. And I was also going to do 10 pull-ups throughout the day or however many pull-ups at home, I got a check for that. And every day I had to have 6, 7 goals, things I was going to do. I was going to go for a walk. I was going to go for a bike ride, whatever it was.
And you said hitting 5 of 7 counts as an overall check mark for the whole day?
Yes.
Okay. And now, how many did you always get your big check mark, or did you have days where you didn't get it?
I think I missed maybe 2 in the last 5 weeks.
Okay, so you were on point the whole 5 weeks at the end.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then so to review here, your pattern was really, was it the very first 2 weeks you did that really hard cut?
I went in it for a week and then I thought, no, I can't do this deficit thing. So I did the hard cut.
Right, and then then what'd you come up to?
Let me think. I'm going to say, I would have to look it up, but I'm going to say that was probably about 1,400.
Okay, and that felt way better.
Yeah, it was much better.
Yeah. Maintaining eat, stop, eat, though, at that point.
Absolutely, very strict 500 calories.
Right, and then the last 5 weeks, or when? Okay, so then. When did you pull it back down to 1,200 or lower?
5 weeks, yeah.
Oh, it was for the whole 5 weeks.
No,
Okay,
the
right.
last 5 weeks.
Right,
The last.
exactly. Yeah. So you had at least a month in the middle there where you weren't going so restrictive.
Right. And the idea there was to just, really go heavy as possible on every single exercise.
Do you feel it? Do you feel it when you're in a deficit? Like, does it sap some of your energy in the gym?
Absolutely. I hate it.
I'm with you. It's not that easy.
But
Well,
here's
kids,
what I don't understand.
go ahead. Go ahead.
If I'm in a consistent deficit,
Yeah.
it saps my energy. But if I do the eat, stop, beat days and I work out on those days, I'm actually quite strong. It all doesn't make sense to me. It's some kind of a miracle. I don't get it. I just do it. So, because I lift 5 or 6 days a week now, so I have to lift fasted.
Yeah, I think, yeah, well, I mean, I think a constant deficit is different than getting up closer anyways to maintenance. I think it's the degree of deficit too. So those little 24-hour periods of not eating, that's not really going to do anything as far as sapping your energy if you're eating at least close to maintenance on those other days. So, and I think we've seen that relatively consistently. And again, even on the fasting day, it doesn't matter. You feel fine. Most people feel fine even in the middle of a fast to work out. But I think it's like, and I get it too. If you're like weeks into pretty hard deficit, it does, you end up like, I don't know how you say this. You end up resetting what your sort of available energy push in the gym. I don't know what you call it. Like that feeling that you have something in you. That just drops by some kind of factor, so that like your best in the gym is just not what it is when you're fed up to maintenance. You can still get through the workout, but it's going to kind of drain you and all that sort of stuff. You probably won't push the same weights. So I think it's the unfortunate side effect of trying to strip off fat that has to happen necessarily to some degree too. It's a lack of feeling full on 100% in the gym.
And I tell myself now that, I don't know, let's say for a given exercise I could lift 20, And when I'm in that deficit, I can only do 15 or whatever. I tell myself that that is 20 to me now, like to the me in the deficit.
Yeah.
That 15 is as good as the 20. It's doing the same thing to my muscles. I guess that's what I mean to say.
Yeah, and that's the right way to look at it. You just have to understand. I mean, that's the perfect way to look at it. You've got your sort of 100% effort fully fed, and then you have your 100% effort in a deficit. And those two efforts will end up translating into slightly different actual weight pushed.
And then one day I was feeling very weak, and I posted on the forums. I said, how come my weights all went down? And you basically insert, I don't know. Like, there could be a lot of reasons for that. So some days I go in, and I know I've been able to push more weight, and I can't. But I'm doing the same perceived effort, so I'm letting that go. Instead of doing the macho, I've got to push 30 pounds on this. The 25s are really hurting me. I'm like, well, then I did good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People get, I mean, we all, and I used to, me and Brad and all my buddies growing up, we used to do that all the time. We used to get all bent out of shape if we weren't literally lifting heavier every single day. And you just can't do it. Some days you just got it and it works, and some days you just don't got it. And it doesn't mean you ditch the gym. It just, like you said, you have to be okay with that's just what you have for that day. So, and that's why I post, I don't know, because there's tons of fact. I mean, and this is back when we were not eating in deficits at all. Like, this was way before we ever even considered eating in a deficit. So we'd have, you know, we're fully fed, we're well rested. I mean, we were university students. What else did we do besides eat and sleep? And
right.
And even during all of those years, we had, you'd just have a day where you're like, huh, I totally sucked in the gym today. And I just, there's no explanation. So strength is, there's something else going on that has, that's too complex to measure. So the idea of gaining is, you got to look at it the long view, like 4 months, 6 months, 8 months. You have to look at those kind of type of changes versus any given day. You can just have a crappy day, and you may not have slept as well as you thought, or some other stress that you weren't thinking about gets in the way, and you just don't have a good push. That's all.
And that's been super helpful too. All the talk about stress and everything, I really see how that affects my energy levels overall, and how on some days I have to, something has to give because something stressful has just hit me.
Yeah. Well, I mean. And it can be subtle, too. Sometimes you might not notice it. Like, if you've got, like, emotional something or other going on, it can mess up a workout big time, too.
Yeah, that's definitely the trigger for me.
Yeah. Mental stress. Pardon me?
The feelings hurt is something where I'll expend way too much mental headspace or whatever, and it pulls away from everything, leaving me very little for everything else.
Yeah, that's why we tell everyone to manage their overall stress, because your body perceives stress as stress. It doesn't matter, physical, mental, emotional. If you're spent, you're spent, and there's only so many hours. Have you found that? Like, have you kind of recognized your weekly limit?
I haven't. I have not recognized my weekly limit. So for the first half of the contest, after listening to the Adonis podcast, I thought that we weren't doing cardio, and then you guys were like, "Girls, you're supposed to be doing cardio." So. So I added back in, and I really ramped everything up at that point anyway. And there are not enough hours in the day for me to exercise as much as I would like to.
Well, okay. But so what did you do for cardio, now that you've mentioned that?
I added back in stuff that I liked. So I put in Zumba class once a week and stadiums once a week. About 30 minutes over at the football stadium.
At the Swamp?
Is that, I don't know.
On campus?
I never went there. Yeah, on campus, yeah.
Yeah, the Swamp. That's the Swamp.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
You didn't know the football stadium was nicknamed the Swamp?
I have a confession to make. I've never been to a Gator game.
Oh, my God. We're not friends anymore.
I know.
We'll finish the podcast, but I don't.
But you're coming in September, and I'm going to fix that.
Well, we're going to be acquaintances from now till September. How's that?
I'll go to one.
Well, you can't go to one before September. They don't have any.
I want to be friends. I've been to the gymnastics. Does that count?
I have a confession to make. I actually watched the gymnastics a lot when I was there. It's entertaining. It's super entertaining, but that's still not the Swamp. That happens over in the O-Dome. Oh, my God. Naomi, how long have you lived there?
3 years.
Three? Oh, that's just... Anyways, let's... I don't even know if I want to finish this.
I don't even talk to people in town about it. I'm a little crowdphobic.
Whatever. You can... You better not tell anyone in town about this. This is terrible.
I know. I know. It's like not owning a gun. It's really bad.
Jeez. Okay, so anyways, I got sidetracked back to, well, at least you've run the steps in there. But it even says this is the swamp right inside the place. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, man. Anyways, so you did stadiums. What else did you do?
I added back in a sports conditioning class once a week, which is about an hour and a half where he combines brutal physical things like sprinting and Spider-Man's across the room and all kinds of stuff like that. And then stations, functional training, he calls it.
Mm-hmm. So basically just a lot of cross-training.
Yeah, and I never would have done it, but with Brad talking so much about it, a little bit of slow stuff, walking in the woods, walking on a treadmill, you know, and family bike rides. I count that. It's something. I'm moving.
Of course it is. Yeah. Anything besides sitting around is something.
Yeah, I actually include house cleaning on my goals.
Yeah, why not?
No, why not? It's slow cardio, to a way of thinking. I'm listening to a podcast. It's good.
Movement's good, man. No, people just don't move enough. I mean, you know what's sad is like all of this, like kind of what you're explaining is probably more, you know, the average person would look at you going, oh, she just does too much or she's too into it. And my take from all the literature I've seen is you're doing what most humans should be doing.
Almost.
So, yeah, exactly. Maybe at least a couple hours a day is how we're built. We should at least be moving that much. So for a lot of people, that's a stretch. So how much cardio did you – so you did the circuits, what, three times a week, four? What were you doing?
I did the circuits four times a week, and I tended to do what I perceived were the harder ones. I'm not sure that that's really true because I'm not sure that any are harder. Like I took it that if it's a level four or whatever, that it should be harder. I don't know if that's – is that true?
If they felt like they were, the levels really just at the exercise complexity kept changing.
So it's more about exercise complexity. Okay.
Yeah. So when you look through them, if you sort of lined them all up head to head, you'd realize level one, module one has the highest percentage of sort of very simple exercises. And then,
yeah, but in a way that can make them harder.
Yeah, it could. So I don't really know.
I don't really know.
Like if, how people will react to each one. So it just becomes a little bit more complex because the exercises themselves become a lot more multi-joint ones and sort of newer, different ones.
Right. So
but yeah, I don't know that one's actually harder than the other.
I started out with a threes and fours because I wanted to do whatever was hardest. And then I wound up with more ones and twos because it was a simpler exercise. And I thought, well, I'm trying to build. So maybe I can lift more weight on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. Like just a straight press versus like a combo of two
with
exercises.
A dumbbell row and kick, with a dumbbell row and kickback, I'm limited by what I can do with the kickback.
Right, but a row is just a row. Yep.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I started out with the 4 VC a week and added in the specializations as soon as they came out, and I've always done those ever since. So I usually do two specializations at a time.
How long do those take? I'm curious.
30 to 45 minutes.
Per or together?
Per specialization.
Okay. And how much cardio did you add? Like total number of sessions, I guess, per week?
At least three.
Okay, so you're pretty busy.
Yeah, some weeks were a lot more of a reaching than that.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end.
Right.
Yeah, and then, you know, I have toys at home, so just adding stuff in, kettlebell swings or...
yeah, just messing.
Whatever, ankle weights, just futz around, step up, step down, whatever. If I keep my husband company at the gym, I will do just, like I think it's from the leg booster, there's a lunge matrix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just slap on some ankle weights and do a lunge matrix.
Yeah.
You know, one of those takes a while.
It does, yeah. What do you think of that one? Do you like that one?
I like that one a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's a modification of when I was training the hockey team, that's a modification of something we did with them. Like that entire matrix we used to do with dumbbells too.
Yeah, I'll usually do it with dumbbells and ankle weights, but if I'm just
oh, okay.
keeping them company is extra. I'll do that. I can go for an hour. Just my ankle weights, just hanging out with him in the gym, spotting him, whatever. Crossover step up is a great cardio exercise. Just taking things from the VI workouts and dropping the weights, and it turns into cardio. So step up and press, just no press.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, well, then I guess that takes us right through the whole contest. So what'd you do for your pictures? Did you do anything fancy, or you just kind of tell us about, how you prep for them you're physically, and then also how you took them, with the actual camera setup? Because, I mean, everyone was super interested when Alicia explained how she did hers, so I think everyone will also want to know how you did yours.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of tries with the camera and taken a lot of bad pictures over the last year, just because of all the different contests that I've had to take pictures for. So I've studied up a lot of the looks that I like online, and with VIs, it's the first time I went to bikini ads. So ironically, the website Venus.com has some bikini pictures, and I looked at what the women there did, and they do some things with their shoulders, and I've also noticed that there's just little tricks to your posture, things that you can do that enhance your overall look, and I even see it in Marley's photos, just some things that she did that you wouldn't necessarily be aware of if you weren't really looking for that.
Right.
And so on diet, I did the water deplete for one day. I ate in a huge deficit for about 3 days going up to the pictures.
Right.
And I took dandelion root extract.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a diuretic.
Yeah. And then, so I was completely fasted, no water during the pictures. And the reason for me for no water, also not even sips, is just because when I'm a little anxious, I feel like water has a tendency to bloat me.
Right.
It happened during my photo shoot. I actually had a professional photo shoot when I did the turbulence training. So I noticed it partway through the photo shoot there. I can see the difference because I started drinking water because it was such hard work.
Right. They are, eh?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone realizes until they do their final pictures how much work it is.
I'm flexing, by the way.
Now?
No. I'm lying in a hammock.
Flexing one arm.
No. In the pictures, I'm flexing.
Yeah, no, I know.
Every single one. So every single picture is a workout.
Oh, for sure. And totally is.
Yeah, so I took those over a few days. And I took some outside on the second day before 8 a.m. when the sun peaked up over the trees.
Uh-huh.
So that was a bit of a sprint just because I couldn't do that one myself. Normally, I did them with the tripod and the camera timer. So it takes three shots. So I do three flexes, three flashes. My lights are pretty much in my face, and I had the brilliant stroke of genius to use a fan this time because it's pretty hot and it's a lot of work. And when I had the professional shoot done, it was brutal. I was sweating my guts out, and I felt sick, and drinking the water messed me up.
Oh, yeah, because he probably had 1,000-watt bulbs, right?
They were brutal, yeah. And I'm so tall that they're about an inch above my face.
Oh, they're that close, eh?
Yeah, they were that close. The studio wasn't really set up for a giant, and it was in a garage, so it was about 90 degrees.
Right. So what did you do for lighting for yourself this time?
You're gonna laugh. It's a chicken hatchery kind of bulb. You know, one of those $10 clip-ons.
Name Naomi. Of course it is. Of course.
Of course it is. I know you wouldn't believe I grew up in New York.
Oh man. So you might maybe we need to post a link to where to find chicken hatchery bulbs.
Not really. No. No, it's just a clip-on bulb. I think it's similar to what Alicia used. And every lamp I owned and Florida sunlight coming in through the windows, I closed the curtains so there wouldn't be any shadows.
Uh-huh.
So I had thin curtains. I pumped up before the photos if I could, but actually I really couldn't. I was so exhausted. So I tried to do a few push-ups, a few presses just to get a little pump. But it was really, really hard.
In a water-depleted, fasted state, you likely can't pump up, no matter how hard you try. There's actually not enough sort of liquid in you to do it.
Oh, that's good to hear, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's totally normal.
Okay. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with you. That's just how it goes.
Okay. So I had four different bikinis. I took like 50 shots at a time throughout the day. And then I would just take more dandelion extract and, you know, maybe a swallow of water. And, yeah, I took a few hundred, you know, easily 300 photos. It was really hard to choose. I liked all of them.
I liked all the ones you sent. I actually had a hard time choosing which ones to post.
Thank you.
Do you think I picked good ones?
I really liked the ones with the fan blowing the hair.
Yeah, I looked at those too. I kind of like that. There was a dozen I would have put. I mean, they're all good. I was just kept going back and forth and just I ended up picking what I picked. But we can put different ones up on the post with this if you want.
That'd be cool.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, do you want me to pick or do you want to, like, kind of give me an idea which ones you like?
No, you pick.
Okay. I'll pick some new ones because people have seen these ones, so they probably want to see some of the others.
Yeah. And I learned that you can't clench your butt.
Okay. Explain.
In a bikini, if you clench your butt, it looks bizarre.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Why would you be doing that?
Well, so I'm looking at my pictures later, like, what's wrong with my butt? In some of these pictures, I don't know. This is how one learns. You don't know what you look like from behind, do you?
Well, I mean, most people don't really spend a whole lot of time looking at their own butt, so I don't know how you can do that without having, you know, two mirrors and just guess you know what the guy said the same thing. Well, and the girls, everybody who like flexed their back for the first time and took a picture and then saw it, they're like, wow, that's what my back looks like. Like almost every single person was shocked when they saw their own back.
Yeah, that I knew because I've done a lot of the flex back shots, and yeah. I have good progress with that. But it's finally occurred to me that for good butt shots, a lot of it is not just your muscle development; it's your pose.
Yeah, it totally is. You just like Marley does a good job in her the picture she sent us, like because it's just like kind of like that. Sort of more on one foot than the other, that sort of with the hip cock to the one side, that's kind of when the camera likes it best, I guess you could say.
Oh, so there's one other important tip to my photos, because I was doing it solo.
Mm-hmm.
I have a mirror, just a mirror that you hang on a wall, just a very simple lightweight one, and I lean it up right under the camera.
Uh-huh.
And I can see a lot of what's going on. So in a lot of those photos, like if the flex is just right, the reason they all came out good is because of that. So I can change the angle ever so slightly, move the shoulders forward or whatever. It changes the whole look of it.
Yep, and that's what I told everyone. And that's I'm glad you pointed that out. It's those type of mirrors are dirt cheap. You can get them for like $10. And
yep.
They weigh like a pound. And that's exactly what you should do, is put it right near, beside, as close to the... So you can see what the camera's seeing. That's super critical.
Obviously not for back shots. That's why so many...
yeah, well, for back shots, no. But for any shot where you can see what you're doing, it really helps.
So that was my first time doing that. And in the past, I've always needed someone to take the pictures. But I felt fine on the camera timer. You know, I felt like I was getting good use of my time.
And you didn't feel rushed or anything?
No. Oh, you mean because you only get 10 seconds? No, it's actually kind of too long. It's
oh, really?
Brutal to hold the flex, and I wasn't sure when my next... It was a function of when the flash recharged.
Right.
So it was almost 30 seconds holding the pose. It was pretty brutal.
Oh, wow, yeah. Oh, and you didn't want to miss it, so you just tried to hold it?
I would relax and then get back into it, yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, yeah. Gaddafi had the same thing. He did it all like that himself, and he was going to actually do two sessions. And he's like, he was too tired. He's like, man, this is exhausting. I can't do it again.
Yeah, well, you try running back in heels.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I guess he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd like to see the guys take their own pictures in heels.
Could you imagine? You just can't see their feet. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Okay, so I guess we're getting on to the end of this. So are you going to compete in level 2 next year?
Absolutely. I'm already getting ready for it. I have to really hurry.
Hurry? What do you mean hurry?
I have to build 2 inches of shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Well, get on it. Jeez. What are you doing
am.
wasting your time on this phone call?
I'm doing Venus and Adonis.
Well, are you really? You're going to do some of the Adonis work?
My husband is finally on board. This is a huge, huge, huge step.
Interesting. Okay, well,
yeah.
If you're going to use any of that protocol, well, I know Jim Pixie did some of it, so you can ask her, but definitely ask me before you start. You already started, didn't you?
I did. Is that wrong?
No, it's okay. But run, I mean, I'll be happy to help you out if you have questions about what parts of it to use or if you're using like the whole thing or part of it or whatever.
Well, I asked on the forums. I asked Jason, actually. I sent him a private message, and he gave me a 55-week program, which I guess is laid out in the manual.
Oh, right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the way to cycle through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all kind of encompassing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're starting with the basics. I'm not going to do all of the workouts, but on the days that I feel up to it, I will do a second session.
All right. Yeah, so you'll kind of pick and choose what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I didn't feel like doing squats. My knees have suddenly started bothering me. So there's no
well,
way.
People as tall as you, squats are difficult for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that is true.
Well, I mean, anyone approaching 6 feet tall, squat already is, you have to be spot on with your form to get them to work properly.
Maybe I'll stick to the dumbbell ones then.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you meant barbell squat versus dumbbell. Yeah. But that's why I have the dumbbell ones in there. They're a lot safer and easier to pull off.
Well, the first workout in there is many, many, many sets of squats. Muscle building foundations.
Oh, so you're looking at MBF right now. Okay, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. There's a lot. There's the whole 12 weeks of that's got a lot of squats.
Yep.
Okay, clearly, you've looked at it. Okay.
Yep.
So, all right. So, what advice would you give people? Give us your like kind of final thing for other women in your position.
So I was only half kidding when I said that this would be the shortest podcast ever when I sent you that in the email.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, it's follow it to the letter. So you have to be very, very strict. You know, there's not a lot of wiggle room for messing up. And when you do, you have to immediately forget it and forgive yourself and move on. We are human. Things do set you back. And then, you know, situations where people get sick or whatever, use that to your advantage. You're not going to lift while you're violently ill or whatever, but you can be in a deficit. There's always a positive way to spin something.
Yeah, that's really good. I like what you said there about forgive yourself, because we all fall back, right? I mean, I've called it a controlled stumble forward, and that's all it really is. So,
and it's life.
Yeah, don't ever expect to be 100% perfect every day. Perfection doesn't exist, and if you try to hold yourself to that, you're just going to be constantly disappointed.
Yep.
Yep. So it's just an accumulation, right? Accumulate more good days than bad, and then that's the best you can do.
I guess really good days is the only thing I would say on that.
Well, yeah, like you said, like you got 7 goals and you want to, you know, hit 5 or 6 of them, and that you get the whole check mark. That's yeah. Yeah, even
yeah.
Caroline was like, she has positive days and then really positive days. So
yeah.
I guess you're both trying to say like, and ride the wave, eh? Like ride the wave if something's rolling, like just go with it.
Yeah, and if you win a contest, just enjoy it.
yeah, for sure. Okay,
yeah.
I think that about wraps it up. So I don't know, you have to. I guess you and I are going to have limited interaction now that we're only acquaintances.
No.
And then sometime in September, you can make amends.
Oh.
I'm just kidding, but not really.
Oh.
I like to sweat this one out for a bit.
See, now my feelings will be hurt and I'll stress.
But my feelings are hurt that you haven't been to a game yet.
But I didn't know you then.
No, yeah,
it's
I guess,
important.
I guess that's a good point.
And I never said I wouldn't go, right? No, I'm going
to go. Listen to you pleading right now. Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay, I think maybe we can be friends.
Thank you.
But it's on a tentative basis, assuming you will show up to a game.
I'm going to get my house ready and everything. I've got the pool already here.
Yeah, there better be orange and blue like stuff everywhere.
Oh, okay.
No.
Let's go that well together.
Is that... Oh, no. Is it too tacky?
It's tacky.
Yeah, I know it's tacky, but it's great for sport uniforms.
I have a friend who is very designery, and she's a Super Gator fan. So she has a certain shade of blue and a certain shade of orange.
Oh, no, no, no. It's got to be the one they wear. It can't be anything that's classier. I know. They wear the tackiest, too, in the business, but it's...
That's you're the way really, home. Really asking. I'll get balloons.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, that'll work. Good.
Okay, so I think we're good for today. So, Naomi, thanks for being on. That was a good call. And I'll talk to you in the forums.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. So for Naomi Sandoval, I'm John Byron, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.